Rick Erickson radio program. Tim Riley joins us in mere moments from the Ministry of Truth. Dennis Pitchenbarger in the house. Have you noticed that Scotty J and Moxie have a lot in common? Both have terrible taste. Both are flat. Okay. You should have him do the Scotty J blog. That's a great idea. That's Sarah. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is Scotty J. Please now to be creating a daily blog where you give your thoughts on things. Why did just that phrase makes you laugh? Just.
Oh.
I like just the idea, just the phrase, Scotty J's thoughts, and Sarah just immediately begins to giggle uncontrollably.
Oh, that would be, that's all I want for Christmas is the Scotty J blog.
Fantastic. Let's see, here's a tease update. Rick, with 25% of the show remaining, you still need Dennis, Gun in Pants, Cornhole Times 5, Worst Lesbian, and Weekend Geek. Well, let's get a head start, ladies and gentlemen. He is the president, proper, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show. He is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Some researchers have found the footprints of that missing man in the woods. And they did find a pair of his pants lying around. So they're searching for him now. But it was a forestry road, and we were just taking a look at the picture of it, and it said, to the coast. Now, your typical motorist would think that was a proper road sign, but it was a forestry road.
We were looking at the sign, and if you are not, I mean, I am kind of from here, and it's, I mean, I've seen those
signs. You think that's the way to go.
Growing up, and they're still a little confusing, and, you know, if you're from some big city, you're from San Francisco, you're from whatever, I don't know if they're familiar with this part of the country, but even if you are, we were talking about this in the hallway. The freaky thing about Oregon and states like this is
it'll kill you.
It totally. And at any moment, you are only about 10 minutes away from forest that you will never find your way out of. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole state is like one big Blair Witch Project just waiting to happen. So there you go.
We really need to start chopping down more trees.
We really do. The trees are the problem. Now I'm going to get a new bumper sticker made up that just says trees are the problem. Really, that's. I don't want to get over the whole thing about it here, but people start talking about, we're running out of trees. We're not running out of trees. Look at this goddamn state. Does it look like we have a tree shortage? There is no shortage of trees. Ask this guy and his family if they feel like there's a shortage of trees. Ask the people looking for D.B. Cooper if they feel there's a shortage of trees.
Meanwhile, a woman who literally made a big stink is being blamed for the emergency landing of American Airlines Flight 1053 in Nashville. The plane had taken off from Reagan National Airport and was bound for Dallas-Fort Worth. A Nashville International Airport Authority spokeswoman tells the Tennessean that some of the 99 passengers aboard the flight reported smelling struck matches. After the plane landed safely and the passengers and crew were ordered off the plane along with their luggage, the FBI traced some used matches to a passenger who admitted lighting them to cover up her flatulence.
Oh.
The woman who lives in Dallas has a medical condition, she says. And American Airlines had previously banned her from its flights due to her excessive flatulence.
Oh. She's been banned from flights?
She was previously. That's but apparently they didn't look up her flatulent records because they were in the wrong file.
Didn't look up her flatulent records?
No.
Is that like looking up your old address?
She hasn't been charged with anything so far.
Okay. What could you charge her? Well, you know, I guess you're not supposed to light matches on a plane, but I think if you took a vote of all the people on the, on that 747, I think everybody votes for the sulfur instead of the stink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
An Indiana State Attorney General's office has sued a Chesterton man accused of selling cornhole games and never delivering them. Scott Thompson, known as Scott Clank.
Scott Clank.
Well, if your name was Scott Clank, I sent the Cornhole King.
I sent
sold the cornhole games to more than 30 people at community festivals around the state, at shopping malls, and online.
I'm the Cornhole King.
Thompson operated under the business name Cornhole Game, and everyone loves cornhole, with customers paying $20 to nearly $330 for these games. Whose fault is this?
What is the cornhole game?
After hearing word from consumers that his company was failing to deliver cornhole games, the company assured us it would perform its business practices. Well, despite promises to the contrary, it continued to deceive its customers. They never delivered the cornhole games. All these customers are seeking refunds.
Because why?
Well, they didn't receive their cornhole games. He sold the games at events in Indianapolis, Valparaiso, Whiting, and other communities. Apparently, there's a big demand for them from these country folks.
For what?
Cornhole games.
At any time, does it specify what a cornhole game is?
It does not.
He's the king.
He's the cornhole king. Scott Klink, also known as Scott Thompson.
Also known as inmate 55392.
He'll never deceive people again
about cornholes. Oh, God damn.
Football season has begun, and that means tailgating with Uncle Charlie Sausage. When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie Sausage on hand. Give Uncle Charlie's a try, and you'll find out it just tastes better. The next time you're in the store, ask for Uncle Charlie's by name. Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie Sausage.
In my mouth. Here's Joe. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Oh, it's been one of those days. What's up?
Speaking of awful things to drink, check this out. My grandmother, she had a stroke when she was 45 and she lost all her taste buds. She grew up during the Depression, so when we were kids, she'd make us stuff to drink. Well, she couldn't taste it, and it tasted great, so, like, she'd make Kool-Aid and then put, like, 2/3 of a cup of saccharin in it. And she'd drink it, and hell, it tastes just fine to her because she didn't have any taste buds. And you had to drink it if she gave it to you because she'd go from zero to beating your ass in about a second and a half to do what you were told.
Oh, mother's love.
And she'd do that, you know, the old Nestle baking chocolate that has no sweetener in it.
Yeah.
That's what she'd make hot chocolate with. And then she'd put, like, honey in it. And she'd drink it down, and it'd be like, oh, this sounds great. Here, why don't you guys drink some?
I've got no taste buds. Have some.
And then, yeah, and then when you're over in the bathroom throwing up, she beat your ass for it because she didn't think that you should be doing that.
Sounds like you had the best childhood ever, sir.
Oh, man, one of her favorite foods was boiled chicken feet.
What is there even to eat on a chicken foot?
There's little pads of meat underneath.
Why did I ask? It was a rhetorical question. I didn't think there was an answer.
Yeah, no, there actually is, dude. She used to... We ate all that stuff. Head cheese, boiled beef tongue, all that crap.
Sarah's plugging her ears.
And if you didn't eat it, then she'd whip your ass. I mean, she'd literally go cut me a switch off the willow out front, and she'd freaking whip your ass right there in front of God and everybody. She didn't care.
Childhood is a glorious golden time, isn't it, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
All right. But good that we're all past it now. Joe, thank you. Yes, you call us anytime, Joe.
Hey, you know they have those Nutrias in the Tri-Cities, too. They're, you know, the ditch banks, you know, the open canals they have?
Yeah, it's because there's standing water and everything.
Dude, they used to come down into my backyard all the time, man, and I'd shoot them.
All right, Joe. Thank you, sir.
Deservedly so.
Thank you.
Hey, you have fun.
All right, thank you. Okay. Uncle Charlie's sausage. In my mouth. Tim? Do we have more news, or are we?
I think we're done.
Okay. Well,
I think time has elapsed.
We'll come back and pay a final visit to the Ministry of Truth later on in this hour.
All right.
Scotty, would you please show Dennis Pitzenbarger to the studio? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. While Dennis Pitzenbarger's entering the studio, let me just quickly, because he's able to penetrate our phone screening
one
system at any time.
For illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George in Wilsonville. Hello, sir.
Rick, am I the only one that gets kind of uncomfortable when I hear the term tailgating with Uncle Charlie Sausage?
Yeah, and well, let's hear it one more time and find out, sir.
Football season has begun, and that means tailgating with Uncle Charlie Sausage. When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie Sausage on hand. Give Uncle Charlie's a try, and you'll find out it just tastes better. The next time you're in the store, ask for Uncle Charlie's by name. Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie Sausage.
Hey, Uncle Charlie, I want to taste your sausage again. Damn it, Ernie! You just tasted my sausage a few minutes ago.
Well,
hey, Uncle Charlie. Yeah.
I'll be brief because I don't want to invoke the wrath of the Mr. Riley.
Yeah.
But I would like to wholeheartedly endorse the idea of having Scotty J. read every day his musings from the previous day. Let's say 5 minutes or so. And especially since he's a big fan of our imperial leader.
Yeah.
That should be good grist. And also, whatever happened to the Three Little Pigs song?
I don't know. I think that's one of the songs in the great off-turning of this show over at Entercom. I don't think the Three Little Pigs song made the transition over
here.
Oh,
I'm sure we could find it again.
Please do that. That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. We should play that Three Little Pigs song constantly.
Especially since you were a part of the band, right? No. Not by the power of the Chin Chin Chin. Wasn't that your line?
What?
Can't hear you. Oh.
No, it looks like we're... No, it's too bad. No, it's unfortunate. That's too bad. All right, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Football season has begun, and that means tailgating with Uncle Charlie Sausage. When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie Sausage on hand. Give Uncle Charlie's a try, and you'll find out it just tastes better. The next time you're in the store, ask for Uncle Charlie's by name. Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie Sausage.
Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Fuel Show. Saturdays 9 to 11. How you doing?
I wonder if that goes in a twin pack with Aunt May's special sauce.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. No. I'm doing well. How are you doing, sir?
I'm okay. It's been one of those days.
I know the feeling. We had one of those Saturdays. Hey, you know, the funny thing is, we, as I've been listening to the show today, it's been quite interesting how you have had a big buildup for everyone to come on the show, and I was also privy to that. Nice little music from the low, a good friend of the show. But it's been an interesting show to listen to today. You've pretty much run the gamut from, I believe you've been molested by a couple of people today, sir. Have you not? Or at least attempted to? Didn't someone talk about wanting to rub you? Wasn't that you?
That was Aaron. Because Sarah has some...
I did. They've gone away.
Some pain and so forth. Aaron was offering to give her a special tingling.
That's right, the menstrual
thing. Yeah, he already gave me his balls, though.
Well, that was...
The vibrating...
the vibrating...
Vibrating balls.
That's
pleasure.
Not shaped like a ball at all, though.
No, they're three
balls. No, they're three balls.
No, I was... Oh, okay.
Aaron has three balls that he gave to Sarah.
And they light up.
That's what they call him. Old three-ball Aaron.
There's a joke with a billy goat in there somewhere. But
I really don't know where it's supposed to go. Oh, God damn. Hey, did you have some Moxie?
No. And I don't want to drink that.
No, hold on. Let me pour you a big glass. Hold on.
I think I'd rather go without Moxie.
Did
you guys
take a big
flick? Let me see the bottle.
Look at it. Doesn't it look like Tim Riley on the front? Oh, it's fantastic.
Drink Moxie. Distinctively different.
Do it now.
Should I take a drink? Did you guys actually drink this?
Yeah, we drink it.
Oh, yeah. No, we drank it.
It smells like a root beer.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Blake. Keep thinking that.
Well, that tastes like ass.
Yeah, it really does.
With a hint of coffee background.
Yeah, you're going to be tasting that for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I can't get out.
Yeah. I like your tie, by the way.
You're totally rocking the 70s sales guy today.
Totally. You ought to be dabbing
now,
sex
pants. Now, listen, the Pinto's going to be the next big thing. You're going to need the Pinto wagon with the optional wood trim.
Let me ask you this. I have a question about cars. And not about a specific car, but, I mean, just about cars in general. I look back at those cars from the 70s, and it's funny you said the Pinto, because I think we can all agree the Pinto was the worst car ever. Worst car ever.
No, it really...
What is the worst car ever in terms of, and I don't mean like an Edsel or just some weird production car that they made like three of. I'm saying, and you can't say the Pacer, because that's its own thing now. I'm saying you look back, and you're just like, God damn, that was the worst car ever made. I mean, just in terms of everything, not like the Corvair because of the aluminum engine or whatever, but I mean, in terms of everything, Tim Riley has handed me his vote for the worst car ever.
Okay.
Let's seal it right now.
The single worst car ever produced would be a double label from the Chrysler Group called either the K car or the Dodge 600.
The Reliant?
What
is so wrong with the K car? I thought those things that were great and ran forever.
Well, it was great because it was what Lee Iacocca had done with Chrysler. It was that cheap car that he had produced to bring the car out of bankruptcy. That and the $700 million he borrowed from the government.
Yeah, my dad used to bitch about that. Damn it, Lee Iacocca! Damn it, Ernie! Make your own money!
Yeah. No, that was probably the worst car ever because it was built so poorly and so cheaply that they could bust those things out like one after the other. The problem was is they were just really that horrible. Now, the funny thing is I make fun of, you know, trying to put Sarah into my 74 Pinto wagon with the wood trim. My parents actually had a blue Pinto wagon with wood trim. I thought it was a fun car. I think that's what actually started that whole wagon lover thing in me.
The Pinto is the worst. My brother had a yellow Pinto, and it's just the worst. I mean, it's just the most embarrassing, hideous.
They're not. I had a little red runabout Pinto with a little 2300 four-cylinder and a four-speed in it. It was one of the funnest little cars I ever had.
My parents had a Velare. That was no walk in the park.
Now, that's also another sizable piece of crap.
Yeah, the Velare. Road. My parents just had this knack, though, for buying just the worst cars on Earth. They would never buy anything that made any sense. The Velari, who looks at the car? That's the car for you. I mean, they would buy that. I don't know why.
I wonder that myself. You know, being a person that's just knee-deep in the car business on a day-to-day basis, when I drive down the road, I do just what you were talking about. I will look at other people in other automobiles and wonder, What in the world brought them to the decision-making process that, you know what, I thought a 96 neon four-door in pink would be a good idea.
That's my thing. This is what I think about when I look back at the 70s, because we talk about 70s fashions and clothes and whatever. And the thing with the cars, I just can't imagine. I wish I could beam myself back to the 70s as sort of an adult, because I was growing up then, just to hear the conversation between a guy in a car lot and, like, some idiot walking in off the street as the guy is going, like, what you want is this gigantic Bonneville that's 1,000 feet long. I mean, it just doesn't... It's like a whole national psychosis that we were going through there.
But remember the year, 1976, the anniversary of our country. That had a lot to do with it. With selling those big cars, it was all about, you know, Toyota's bad. You know, there was people back in the early 70s that would have literally laughed at you and slapped you in the face if you said, you know what, 2006, Toyota's going to be the largest automaker in the world.
Oh, man. I remember I had a relative of mine who lived in Detroit, and they would come to visit us occasionally. It's like, and if you had a Toyota, you had to hide it in the garage.
Oh, yeah. Those are fighting words. And it's funny because you look back on them now, and those big cars were so powerful. Gas was still relatively cheap before the big crunch came. But, I mean, to have a car on 29-cent gallon gas that could go 100 miles an hour and carry six kids, no seatbelts, that's
the great thing. I was thinking about seatbelts this weekend, too, because I was in Provo driving around with, you know, my in-laws, God bless them, and they got the same car they've had for like 1,000 years. It's like a Tempo from 1982 or whatever, you know, whatever. But it's got those automatic seatbelts where you shut the door, and it goes along the... But I was thinking about how back in like the 60s or whatever it is they created seatbelts, there was that time when they made cars, and there's just like, were no seatbelts at all, really, to speak of. And those were, it was like a trifecta. There was like no seatbelts. The seats were all like that slick, like a vinyl, so you'd be sure to slide right off of it. Oh. Just like you were, you know, just like right out of a greased pig.
Right into the steering wheel that was made,
out of metal. Yeah, right into the steering wheel that was just made out of pokey, like, metal that would go right through your thorax and puncture both of your lungs. I mean, it was, and the dashboard was made out of, like, stone, and it was like the car was designed to kill as many people as possible. And the great thing is, the car was designed so you could just open it and just hose the inside of it out and sell it off to the next gullible consumer. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what they did. Is the people inside, see, those big cars that were made out of just tons and tons of American steel were made to have one slight fender replacement, and then they would just hose out the family from
totally. Tim's suggestion for worst car ever? Chevy Vega.
Definitely in the top 10.
Are you wearing a see-through shirt? Are you wearing underneath anything underneath that shirt? Is this your Tuesday shirt?
You ask him this every week.
No, I have several of these shirts, and they are somewhat similar, but obviously very
Scotty
much...
Scotty has really made us oversensitive to things like this. We're still a little traumatized from the
mesh. I don't have any cologne on. I have some pit stick in case I'm in the... Don't put me in the full Scotty.
Oh, that's stick. Awkward.
I'm sorry, I'm wearing deodorant in my underarms. Does that make you feel better?
It's stick.
I like it.
All right. We have an answer about cornholes. Sid.
Yeah.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Well, growing up, there was a thing called the cornhole game, which, ironically, I came from a town...
Did you grow up in a prison?
Oh, this town had four prisons in it. That was our main industry. We had four different prisons in the town.
And everybody played the cornhole game.
They may have, but the cornhole game is very similar to the beanbag game. You have a...
Really? Hold on. Wait, let me stop that. Okay, the beanbag game.
Well, you know, where you...
Yeah, no, I know, trust me.
You have a flat board with holes cut in it, and you try and throw the beanbags through the hole.
Uh-huh.
Well, you have a board with holes cut in it, and you try to football spiral a corn cob through the hole.
Christmas was great at your house.
So do you think he was just selling big pieces of wood with holes in
it? Yeah, probably decorated and maybe, you know, some laminated corn cobs or something with it. But it's just, you know, it's just a board with holes and probably had point values for different holes and your job was to put the cob in the hole.
Yeah. The point values for holes really depend on where you play that game, though, I've learned.
And I guess how heavy the guy might be.
And what time of day it was, but...
Oh, God. Welcome to Sheridan Prison Hour.
I've lived some places where the point value really just fluctuated massively from one play location to another.
So maybe for Christmas you'll get a cornhole game.
Fingers crossed.
Or maybe you could make some Rick Emerson cornhole games and they could be giveaway items, you know, promos.
Come play the Rick Emerson cornhole game.
And you should have different holes. There could be a hole for you and a hole for him.
And it would have different holes.
Sarah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm too tired. I find it all very funny.
Thank you. Best call ever. Thank you, sir.
Bye, Rick.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, well, some of the worst cars ever made was anything, you know, Plymouth did in those years with the K car, like the Valiant and the Velarde.
The Valiant. The Valiant is the way. Even I know the Valiant. Man, I've known so many DJs who drove Valiants.
Well, they were cheap. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, and these people were all like.
All through the 70s and even until I graduated in the 80s. My mom still had her 68 Chevy Impala four-door.
It's such a crime that we talk about those cars from Chrysler and Dodge when they had cars like the Hemi Charger and the Cuda. You know, I mean, it's just blasphemy.
They're fleeing by themselves compared to the Mitsubishi I pieces of crap that they came out with before.
I'm sorry, was that a question?
Yes.
Okay. I know he faded out. I didn't hear the all whole right. question.
I don't know. All I know is, man, I used to... The first radio station I ever worked at in Kennewick, there were not one, but I think either two or at one point three different jocks I worked with who drove, respectively, it was two Plymouths and I think a Velarde at that time. And it was... And you look at those people and you knew... Just from looking at the fact that they would roll up in this Valiant, you knew all of the other poor decisions. You know they had rent-to-own furniture at their house. You know that they had, like, a television that was costing them, like, $5 a week for the next 1,000 weeks of their life. And you know that there were three kids at home, one of whom was still wearing plastic pants at, like, the age of six. You know?
I found that funny for my time, my limited time in radio compared to a professional like you, is when you come up to the drive, when you, especially at the old place that you're at, and I unfortunately was too, is the parking lot during the day, there was a certain line of cars that went with a certain...
You can say it. Salespeople are there driving Mercedes and Lexus.
I was actually going to go with the particular, say, morning crowds or afternoon crowds.
That's true as well.
That had the really nice cars with the really nice wheels. And then when we went to come in and do our show on the weekend, there was a guy with like, a Mitsubishi Eclipse with a yellow fender and a broken down cab.
Totally.
We knew who those guys were.
we're not making that Bob Miller money.
Oh, God. Can I don't even know if I'm under some sort of restraint to tell you what...
The key is to show your fleshy pink skin on a billboard, horrifying motors all over the city. That really is the key to success. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, another thing, too.
Yeah.
For Sarah, is Sarah still looking for a car? Has she ever considered, like, a Kia Sportage?
Mm-mm.
Sarah?
I have not. My budget is
four-door sport utility thing.
Yeah, my budget is very, very small.
I can't drive anything with AGE at the end of it. It's like, and let me ask you this, speaking of the Kia Sportage.
I built one to wheel, and it's still going strong, and it does really good up in Mojave and other places. So.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's Paul. Speaking of the Kia Sportage, I have a friend of mine who drove one of those, but when did we, there really is no answer to this, but why, when did we start referring to signs as signage? Why can't there just be signs hanging up? There's some signage hanging up. Signage is a completely made up word.
I never heard it until working in radio.
Yeah, it's just one of those words that perplexes me.
It's an advertising and marketing
word.
It's
a made up word. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Well, first
Scotty, hold on. I have to say that Scotty is weighing in. Signage, it makes them plural. Because saying signs doesn't... Oh, now it's gone. Comment gone. Comment removed from the screen instantly. Oh, we have to get this blog going. We'll walk him through how to set up a blog on the air tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
Well, he's out there
typing cornhole on the screen now.
He's out there watching the huge herds of meese.
I love lamp. Here's Alexander. Yeah, what's up, brother?
Well, first of all, I worked on a bunch of old cars in my day, and you know, the reason why people survived driving around in those things is they were all driving drunk. And so when they got into an accident, they just sort of...
They sort of shake it off and stagger home.
He is so right.
Yeah.
You just slid right underneath the steering wheel. You didn't go right into it.
I don't know how generations survived from the 50s and 60s because, again, it's like there was no drunk driving education, no seatbelts. The cars were...
Everybody was driving.
No safety devices. The cars were still a relatively new invention. But let's see how fast I can accelerate this thing. You know, everybody did. No thought to any sort of... I mean, it really is amazing that anybody lived past 1958.
Because no one can drive now. Because the aura that today's automobile gives you, that you are so safe and surrounded by so many safety objects that you don't even have to pay attention. You don't have to know how to drive.
Right.
You don't even have to speak English. And I'm not even going to start that. But I'm saying, you don't have to speak the national language.
Of wherever you live.
Of wherever you live. Does that make you feel better?
No, I'm just saying. I'm trying to be inclusive. Rick Emerson cares.
I'm just saying. I don't care if people come to the Great American Melting Pot. But I'm saying if you can't read the word STOP, we have a slight problem.
Well, but see, that, and that's the thing. That almost makes it more excusable if somebody's like, well, I don't know, I thought it meant to accelerate as quickly as possible.
I ran right through it into the busload of kids.
The problem is that we have to break. Let me play us out here, Sarah. I'll play us out with this, because I got to get this done today. We'll do this. We'll come back. Tim Ryder will give us the latest word from the Ministry of Truth. We'll speak more with Dennis Pitzenbarger, host of The Fuel Show. You stay right there. Back after this.
And now, The Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Hey, this is Aaron Duran, Lord of the Dorks and lead writer for GeekInTheCity.com, presenting you The Week in Geek.
Heat! Move!
It was bound to happen. With all the real money being exchanged for gold, land, title, and night elf slave dancers, the IRS is looking into potentially taxing players who make money off World of Warcraft. So take heed, my fellow geeks. Not even your boots of escaping will help you outrun the tax man. And as lame as this sounds, there is something kind of cool about having to list the Horde as your employer on your W-2 form.
Heed!
A very credible rumor has reached the Geek Tower claiming that if the new live-action Michael Bay-helmed Transformers performs well, Spielberg will be looking to tap into our childhood even deeper by creating a live-action version of G.I. Joe. Now, before you get too excited, remember these are the people who put flames on Optimus Prime. Although Papa Geek will very much forgive Michael Bay if he casts Scarlett Johansson as the Baroness. I know you guys remember her. She's the Cobra that came with the riding crop. Riding crop.
Eat! People! No!
Locally, things are pretty light in Stumptown. So remember, if you've got a geek or pop culture event that you'd like covered in The Week in Geek, drop me a line at news@geekinthecity.com. Until then, be sure to check out the shop at geekinthecity.com and buy yourself some fine swag, because this bandwidth ain't going to pay for itself. I'm Aaron Duran, and I'm a colossal whore.
The Week in Geek, only from The Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, she was like 6 feet tall and had man hands. Lots of makeup. Hello! It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the show. By the way, the nipples of the female nutria are on their back. Ladies and gentlemen, the official president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A snow-covered backcountry road that trapped the King family from San Francisco is meant for tourists, but not this time of the year. Authorities say the cyber-savvy family may have plucked the route from Grants Pass to Cold Beach from an online mapping service unaware of the elements. This happens a lot of times.
Oh, man, I had MapQuest try to drive me into the Puget Sound one time.
Well, apparently, the Yahoo and MapQuest offers Highway 199 and 101 as a preferred route. That's fine, but the Google Map search, which apparently they follow, suggests Bear Camp Road, a series of forests used only during the summer. And apparently that's what they use.
Oh, yeah.
Don't take Bear Camp. Don't listen to Google.
Don't follow the lights.
Meanwhile, Charlie's Angels, one of the original Farrah Fawcett's, has finished undergoing chemotherapy and radiation treatment. Her rep tells People magazine the 59-year-old, she's 59, is doing well. She didn't lose much of anything, any weight or all that.
There's no weight on that girl to lose. Yeah, she was a stick to begin with. So, hey, speaking of MapQuest, by the way, I have the TomTom GPS navigational system. They just put in an upgrade. I can have it speak in the voice of Eddie Izzard, which is fantastic. I am completely gonna. It's like $4 a month. I'm totally gonna pay to have my GPS speak to me as Eddie Izzard. Best thing ever.
And some good news, free wireless internet is now available in some parts of Portland. Initially, the service will only be an option in a 2-square-mile area centered around Pioneer Courthouse Square, so that must be our area. We could use that, along with Buckman, Lloyd, and Kern's neighborhood. However, it'll eventually be extended to every neighborhood. MetroFi is building the network with some funding help from Microsoft.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen,
have Tim Moxie.
Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of creation.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Dennis Pitzenbarger, Rick, nutria, frequent ponds around golf courses, blah, 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 blah. I believe he has sent us here the nutria mating call. I hope this isn't some sort of a gag. Let's see here. Nutria mating call. Let's see. This is... Oh, yeah, that's totally what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's like a beaver with a rat tail. That's totally it. All right. Let's see. Let's see if the nutrient may... Sounds like an instrument of some kind. I wonder how long this goes on.
Sounds like a kazoo.
Or like my uncle if he were to stitch his lips shut.
Is it finally over?
Gripping radio. All right, let's see here. We're here with Dennis Pritzenbarger, host of The Fuel Show, which is Saturdays, 9 to 11, right here on this very fine radio station, and Sundays at 12:30 on the CW. Did I get that right?
You actually got that absolutely
fantastic.
Correct.
Rick, 5 years ago, some friends... there was a list made of the 10 worst cars ever made. I am embarrassed to say my folks have owned 5 or 6 of them. Cars my parents have owned on the list. Corvair, Gremlin, Pontiac T1000, the Chevy Vega, and the VW Boss, which is unsafe, underpowered, and cold. Let's see. How about this? Worst car ever. Dude, wait for it. The worst car ever. Is this called Lada? Lada? It's a communist-built car based on the Italian Fiat 128.
Lancia?
It's L-A-D-A. Yeah, I got nothing. How about this? This is from a woman. She says,
Sorry.
Can I help you with something?
No, I was... You know what?
No,
Dennis. You want to know, I'll tell you.
What?
I actually recorded the Hedgehog song for you, and I was trying to get it to play on my song. I feel hedgehogish.
The Hedgehog song.
I'm a roly-poly prickly pal looking for my mama. I'm hedgehogish.
Don't have kids. What are you singing?
I'm singing the Hedgehog song.
I know. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means.
What is the Hedgehog song?
It is the Hedgehog song from Zumafu.
Jesus Christ. There's just a whole other language spoken by you people, isn't there?
Us people?
Zumafu is...
Zumumafu.
Am I going insane?
Zumumafu is... I don't even know how
you're
to say
just
it.
Making words.
Is that a show
it's
or
a
group?
Show. It's a show.
Is it like The Wiggles?
A little different. Two brothers, and they talk about animals. And there was a song called The Hedgehog Song. And every time, because they only really have like 10 real news shows.
Right.
And they just replay them because obviously my one-year-old has the attention span of a one-year-old.
Yeah.
So they play this different show every week. And every week, as soon as we hear it, we think of you, because we know that...
Because I had many hedgehogs.
And we are sorry to see them leave our world.
It is
we have
true.
Exotic pets ourselves. And I get made fun of because I'm Mr. Cool Guy that cries whenever my animals get hurt. So every time we think of the hedgehogs, we think of you. And there's a song that I recorded onto my phone. I was going to try to play it. And it was called The Hedgehog Song.
Why don't you just sing it one more time for us?
Do you have it on your phone?
Can you play it? Can you make it play?
I'll play it on your phone.
I don't know if I can get to it, though. Let me see if
Okay, you can just recite it again.
I think the speaker's on the back.
I can hear radios turning off everywhere.
Hold on. Okay, you want to... Okay, listen. I'm working on it. Gripping radio, I know. Okay. There you go. I'm a roly-poly pickly pal. I'm a roly...
Just looking for my mama?
I'm a roly-poly pickly pal looking for my mama.
Football season has begun, and that means tailgating with Uncle Charlie Sausage. When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie Sausage on hand. Give Uncle Charlie's a try, and you'll find out it just tastes better. The next time you're in the store, ask for Uncle Charlie's by name. Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie Sausage.
Fantastic.
I try so hard to bring things to you. Because I care.
I appreciate it. It's just coming out of a speaker that's like half an inch by half an inch. It's the full power of the Hedgehog song is perhaps not being conveyed. The full force of it is really not being conveyed, I think, probably by the mechanism you are using.
Well, I feel hedgehogish.
Thank you. The email is from a woman. She says, hey, I dated a stud in high school. Had a Le Car. Yeah.
Those are cool.
Were those from Renault? Is that who made those? The Le Car?
Le Car. They were commonly referred to as the throwaway car. Basically, you drove them until they broke, and then you got rid of them.
Yeah, all I know about...
Tim said he had one.
Tim had a Le Car?
I cracked it up in Utah.
Did the engine burn up?
No, It came apart in pieces, but the Mormons helped me put it back together with bungee cords, and I drove all the way to L.A.
The Mormons assisted me with my LeCar. Yes. Best phrase.
It was a green one that was a convertible.
It fell apart in pieces.
You had a convertible LeCar.
I drove cross-country with a LeCar, and it only cost me $50.
Fantastic.
They got like 100 miles to a gallon.
You don't have, they don't make cars like that anymore. They really don't. Excellent. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I should get to a couple of these stories here real quickly because I've gotten to almost none of this.
I didn't mean to throw the anchor out. Sorry.
No, no, that's okay. No, this whole show has just been chaotic.
I could tell you about the Porsche I'm driving.
Please do. And then I'll get a couple of these stories.
And then die.
And then we'll talk to Chris and see what I've gotten to and what I have not.
Well, so. One of the biggest cars that would not be a piece of junk is the Porsche Cayman S I'm driving. It's just a fabulous car. I don't know.
Do the other salespeople hate you?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, that was another one of the cars when Mr. Dean Snyder walked by me, and all he says is just refers to me as Richard.
Yeah.
And just that's all I get.
Fantastic.
Right. You know, I do what I can. You know, I switch it up once in a while and drive two different cars during the week.
Life is hard. Do we have the gossip bed here? And I'll get a couple of these done, and then we will.
What's the gossip bed? Is that
it's the A News pile.
Yeah,
and then we'll find out how this program is. Let's get to a couple of these burgeoning stories. Concerned friends fear that this is technically a Britney watch, but we'll just go with it. Concerned friends fear that pop beauty Britney Spears is having lesbian sex with Paris Hilton.
Cool.
It's the best worst story of the year. Because of all of the women on earth, why does it have to be with Paris Hilton? After the unlikely new pals locked themselves in a hotel toilet for 20 minutes, shades of Dennis. Sources spilling to the... You know exactly what I'm talking about. So you can't go a day without talking about how you stooped somebody in a loo. Sources spilling to News of the World claim that Paris Hilton loves lesbian action. Now, British newspapers are so much better than ours. Ages ago, Paris stripped for girl-on-girl action with Venezuelan MTV star Eglantina Zing while they were on a modeling job together. But right now, Britney is the one. Paris can't get enough of her. According to News of the World, Britney Spears going without panties was Paris Hilton's idea. An insider said, Paris loves the fact that Britney gets turned on by going pantyless.
Ew.
I only say cool because I want to watch both of their careers end in a fiery crash.
She even demanded, this is Paris Hilton now, she even demanded that Britney take off her panties in front of her. Britney obeyed.
What?
I don't understand. I don't know.
Is that real news?
It's the News of the World. News of the World says they went into a toilet and came out 20 minutes later, clothes and hair all over the place. After dancing at a club, the two 25-year-olds spent their first night together in Britney's hotel suite. Here's an uncomfortable word. The insider continues, Britney and Paris love to prance naked in front of each other, like ponies. And that night, they, quote, really got to know each other. Janet Jackson loves to give her boyfriend a striptease. So it's all leathery and sagtastic. There's one man who turns on Janet Jackson more than any other, her boyfriend. And the fact that he's younger than her and a troll. But have you seen Jermaine Dupri? That guy's like a foot and a half high.
He is icky, and he has like five teeth.
Yeah. It's true. And he's responsible for the career of Crisscross. And the fact that he's younger than her helps spice things up in the bedroom, too. Janet recently said she loves to strip for her lover because she likes giving him what he wants. The music icon, who is dating music producer Jermaine Dupri, treats her partner to a seductive X-rated dance anytime he wants one. Finally, Eddie Murphy, who's been romantically linked to Melanie Brown, has ditched the former Spice Girl and demanded she take a paternity test to prove he's the father of her unborn child. In a strange twist, the ex-wife of R&B singer Babyface has claimed that she's currently dating the Beverly Hills Cop star. Murphy revealed the split with the former Scary Spice in an interview with the Dutch TV show RTL to promote his new film Dreamgirls. I didn't know he was in that. He says, quote, I don't know whose child is until he comes out as a blood test. You shouldn't jump to conclusions, he shot back when asked how he felt that Mel B was expecting his child. You're being presumptuous because we're not together anymore, the 46-year-old said. The couple, who'd reportedly been discussing marriage plans at one point, met 6 months ago. They started dating in June, 2 months after the Shrek star had divorced his wife, Nicole, after 7 years of marriage. Brown is 5 months pregnant. So there you go. I never even knew that Eddie Murphy was dating Scary Spice.
Yeah, they have been for a while.
I see, I get the memos late on all of this stuff. All right, there you go.
Is that it?
Get to more of it tomorrow. We, believe it or not, we had six pieces of Britney news today. And the only one I have is the one about her. Yeah, I got there. It was the one about her prancing naked with Paris Hilton, who orders her to remove her panties. That's the creepiest thing in the entire...
That's not it. They're locked in a bathroom together because they're just doing blow.
That's, you know what, I would say that's
exactly what they're doing. It's not any lesbian romp.
I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just this phrase. She demanded that Britney take off her panties.
Gotta give it to the British, though. I mean, they are creative.
They really are. Well, the great thing about being a Briton is you don't have to have any facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like working here at this station. You don't have, you just make it, pull crap out of your ass. Doesn't even matter. Pull news right out of any orifice.
I just don't think of the Janet Jackson story. I mean, I see her with like this.
Why do you want to see Janet
Jackson? No. I'm thinking that she has like a giant skin tourniquet on her back, and they just twist it.
Like skin buns?
Yeah, like just twist it every couple of years to make her look fresh. I mean, it's just
make her look fresh.
Fresh is such an awkward word for that.
Fresh is a terrible word. Come to think of it, I find the word fresh to be uncomfortable all the time.
Me too.
I thought it was just me.
No. I was watching Sex and the City, and there's this one when Samantha gets a chemical peel, and she was saying she wanted to have a fresh face, and it just... And it ended up like taking off a lot of the skin on her face, and it just grosses me out because they're describing it as fresh.
I remember when that movie came out, and then the Garth Brooks album later of the same name called Fresh Horses, and I found that to be really disturbing, too. You're right, fresh is just a terrible, especially because my generation forever links the word fresh with... And this is a thing that has entered the lexicon so long ago that people now don't remember the actual ad. This is sort of like the Mikey Hilliard anything. It was that ad for some sort of feminine... Spruce Me Up product, and it started off with an older woman and a teenage girl talking together, and the girl says to the mom, and this is where these phrase came from, the girl says to the mother, Mom, did you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling?
Yeah.
That commercial is where that phrase comes from. All right, let's, with the whole...
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Good from Mailman Chris.
Good afternoon, all.
You know, I never got that not-so-fresh feeling. Never, ever, ever. Not once. Not even when I don't bathe for days.
I've never had that feeling either.
Not at all. What's up with you, sir?
You know, I'm sitting here with a broken-down truck.
Fantastic. What kind of truck is that? Dennis?
My letter carrier truck.
That's what I'm saying. What kind of trucks does the Postal Service have?
The majority of the trucks you see, the newer model, not the older ones, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It's actually a Ford Explorer.
Really? Yeah.
Ford Explorer with a different body on it, but it's got some get up and go to it. You know, when the
back. when it works, when it actually operates correctly.
I should have been done with my route. I only have one street left, but it's like five blocks from where I'm at. I'm not carrying all this mail, walking all the way there just to deliver that street. So I'm waiting for him to come jump my truck.
Well, think of it this way: you
government employees in action.
I was gonna say he's on the company clock. Sorry.
Oh, it's Dennis. I wonder where the hell that
just
noise...
Dennis, put it on mute.
Seriously, man. Have you no respect?
It was just Ian.
Well, a list of the things that you got to today.
Yeah.
Lisa, Ed, Dennis, Lesbian, Weekend Geek, Moxie, and Cornhole. Unfortunately, you did not get to Gun and...
Oh, the Gun and the Pants story. Oh, okay.
Oh, is it as good as it sounds?
No.
They shoot off their...
Well, yeah. Guy shot off his junk. It's exactly...
Why wasn't that in the Penis Watch?
Because the penis watch, there was like five penis watchers. Have you taken a good long look at the stack of news that has been piling up recently? You have no idea the watches we haven't gotten to.
Is that a Darwin watch, though, or is it a penis watch?
No, because, I guess it could be a Darwin watch because unless he's already had a kid. If he hasn't had kids, then it is so. If he hadn't had kids, then it is like a Darwin watch because he's going to keep his idiotic genes from being passed on to the next generation. That's all about whether he has already spread his seed.
Don't count on that, Rick. With today's, I mean, John Wayne Bobbitt got it put back together.
Did you ever see John Wayne Bobbitt's porn film?
I missed that one.
I did.
You bring that up every time someone mentions.
What was
John
the name
Wayne
of
Bobbitt?
That film?
Frank and Penis. You laugh. That's what it's called.
Is it all deformed?
They were selling it for $7.99 when I was living in Spokane, and I went to buy some real porn, and that was in the closeout bin. And there it was. They were also selling the Tonya Harding wedding night video there.
The Screech video is now for sale, by the way.
Oh.
Really? We should pay Scotty to watch it. We have some advertisers of adult merchandise that grace the halls of this radio station. We should demand that one of them send it on over, and we'll have Scotty watch it.
Oh, you know you want to watch it, too.
I want someone to get that and then Photoshop like his old head from when he was like in Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, he really looks exactly the same. He hasn't changed much at all. He's a little fatter now. That's about it. All right, so I did not get to the guy shooting himself in the junk, but you know.
Nope, that puts you at 63.
All right, but I mean, let's all acknowledge that I got to a whole lot of damn stuff today.
You got to a lot of stuff today, and I got to ask now that clip that someone sent in of the Nutria mating call.
Yeah.
Can you play like another 2 seconds of that?
Yes, we'll play it here towards the end of the, we'll play it here as our closing sound.
I was just kind of wondering if that was the sound of Uncle Charlie's sausage being enjoyed.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a pleasant tomorrow. There you go, Mailman Chris. Dennis Pittenberger, Fuel Show on this very fine radio station, Saturday 9 to 11, and then Sunday, 12:30 on the CW.
You've got that down to so pat, I need to say nothing. Just sit here and say, go to pdxautoclick.com.
Here for my looks, brother. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who took time out of her busy schedule today to talk to me, Rick Emerson, and only me. No one else, just me.
Me!
We also want to thank Ed McCarthy, Rick Emerson, show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Scotty J is our PA. Dave Zim manages the Rick Emerson Office East. And Tim Riley is our newsman, president, prophet, seer, and revelator. Like us next. Don and Mike at 7. See y'all tomorrow at 11. Well, the Bastards, Granny Don. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.